Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And now, it's time for the Lakeside Drive F1 podcast. Here are your hosts and my supreme leaders, James Baldwin, Campy, and Freya Brolsma.
It's Thursday of the Australian Grand Prix. Plenty has gone on off track. Plenty has gone on track too, but not Formula One. So we're not going to talk about it here because that's not what this podcast is for. But to join me to talk about everything that's happened off track, the Australian Grand Prix on Thursday, my friends and yours, Thomas J. Camp. Hello, mate.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Just back yourself in there, bud. And Freya Brolsma, hello, mate.
Hello. You look like Elvis with that microphone.
There's only two microphones and I can't be bothered getting another cord because I am recording this intro and then I'm leaving because it's been a whole thing.
You're not off the hook quite yet, Jim. Now,
go on.
We've got some great videos of you commentating on track and me and Freya giving some running commentary a long time, which may or may not come out.
Really?
Yeah. But
we're
very proud of you. Just before, for the listeners, just tell us about your day today. And what your weeks look like, because it's exciting news and we want them to participate in all your glory this weekend, because this weekend is clearly about you and your accomplishments. So.
I edited the last episode and cut out all of the Felipe Massa stuff and then left in you guys praising me. So that's the kind of person that I am when it comes to editing podcasts. Look, very kind of you. Thank you to you both. Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be part of the Track TV commentary team, and thanks to Greg Russ, the great man. Press red for Greg on your remote right now, no matter where you are. And it's been fantastic. I've been welcomed into the family with the likes of Matt Nolte as well. Cam has been fantastic. Louise Goodman's been fantastic. And sort of doing Porsches, not sort of, actually doing Porsche. I've used all my words today. That's the problem. Commentating Porsche, Carrera Cup. Doing all the fly past stuff. So clearly someone's listened to the podcast in the past and gone, this is the guy to talk about when it comes to fly pasts. And I did the historics, the 60 years of Bruce McLaren for last year. They're carrying that over at the Australian Grand Prix to this year and talking a little bit more about the Trans-Tasman stuff that he did back in the day with the likes of the great Jackie Stewart and all of the names that sort of we know and love, the original Hill. All those kinds of guys too.
Damon's old man,
as he should now be referred to as. But yeah, it's been great. My first time on camera, my first time in a commentary box, and the first practice session that I did, I had no vision whatsoever. So I was commentating a timing screen. And very quick shout out to Luke King, who drove in the Porsche Carrera Cup last year, was my co-commentator for many of those sessions, and it was just like a podcast. To be honest, it was just chatting with the guys and getting content out, which, or in this instance, chatting with the boys and getting content out. Very good.
Very good.
Is that it? Am I off the hook now?
You're off the hook, Jim.
Oh, that's very good. Thank you to you both. Thank you to listener as well. And a massive shout out to Matt Walker, who got some vision of me. maybe for some good stuff, maybe for some banter, I'm not sure, but he's a good man, and thank you for putting that up. It's quite bizarre to hear and see myself doing this, to think that this time last year I was nowhere, and now I'm the feel like one of the busiest people in the paddock is an interesting place to be. So anyway, it means good things to Lakeside Drive, because suddenly you're getting access to things that we never used to before. Thank you to you both, and I'm glad that you both got accredited too, especially you, Frey, considering you came so far, Campy. I mean, you've come a long way too from Gippsland, but not as far.
Well, I don't bring much to this podcast. You can't even say the words. Certainly don't bring much to the Oz GP National Accreditation Park.
Not with, not with that attitude, you don't. Thank you to you, listener. Obviously, this podcast will be back tomorrow, and for the rest of the Grand Prix weekend, I'll probably be back for the race review podcast at some point in the future. But thanks all for your love and support, except for you two, because clearly apparently you're going to take the piss out of me later, which I would expect nothing less.
And in the meantime, you get us, me and my darling Campy. That's the term that we're on now. Day together at the Oz Grand Prix.
Got the Unlike Airbnb
James,
together.
Who had to be in a million places and managed to be in those places, we had one thing we wanted to see and managed to get the stage wrong.
Yeah, it's clearly said main stage.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you're going to have a main stage, surely that means there's only going to be one main stage. It turns out there's two main stages. There is a main stage, and there's the Innovation Hub main stage. Just call it something else is all I'm saying.
It's not really a stage. It's like under a tent, but one of those shade sail tents. It's not really a...
So it's a boat.
It's not clearly labelled main stage, is it?
No, but you can't. My point is that you can't have more than one main stage. Like you can't have...
You had Tom Mottram on last weekend, the COO of the Australian Grand Prix organisation, and they do an amazing, excellent job. The one thing I realised today, the scale of being up close and personal behind closed doors, you see just the scale and the logistics of this is an absolute nightmare. So I'm not going to rag on them for getting such small details wrong. I'm sure they'll note that down.
And an interruption because ringing. We have such a professional outfit here.
Oh, God. James is actually ringing me. He's literally just walked out the door. Mind me, listener.
Please take the call. My current visual is Campy ducking underneath a cord, doing limbo in our podcast gear.
Where were we?
Where were we indeed? So, Campy, you were saying to me that you were kind of astounded by the scale of the operation as a whole. And you did say to me at the time, you said, I feel like an insignificant pleb while we sat and watched the practice pit stops, Porsches coming through. We had the Ford stuff going on. Tell me more about that. What scale of insignificance are you experiencing
very,
right now?
Very
existential crisis level, or just
I'm like a cork floating in the middle of the ocean. No, I don't mean it like that. I had this epiphany. I've been to Grand Prix before. We've seen it, and you understand what it's like if you've been to an event like that. But I had this moment. We just walked past the pit area for the F2 and F3 cars, and there's like the road that leads through to somewhere else, and there was the Porsche Cup or the classic cars, and you had all these ATV, whatever they're called, and on behind them they had these elaborate setups just to carry the tires to the grid, and I just had this epiphany. It's like stuff you wouldn't even think about or consider just sitting in the stands. What needs to go into, you know, a 15-minute race for a category that many people have never seen nor heard. Certainly not on TV in the broadcast. Yep. You only see it once a year at F1. Yep. I was like, this is massive. And the amount of people that were walking around with all the passes and logistics and crew staff was just, I just had that moment. It's like, geez, this is the biggest circus in the world. So, yeah, it was quite cool to see.
Yeah, it was a fun day. It was very interesting to be there on the Thursday. I haven't done Oz Grand Prix on the Thursday actually before. So it was quite interesting to kind of, you still almost feel like it's falling into place.
Yeah.
You are getting a lot of those practice things going on and people still figuring out their setups, doing rehearsals still. And you have a bit more of an idea as to everything that is still going into it in order to make it happen. It was also really lovely because it's a lot quieter on the Thursday. So the crowds are not quite as big yet. Although what I found very interesting is that the busiest by a country mile activation that we saw was the Mecca stand. So people there getting their makeup touch-ups done and things like that. There was an enormous line there, which was not present for any of the other activations, not even like the simulators and stuff like that. So that was pretty telling to me in terms of who's there and hanging out. Is very interesting. But, yeah, you kind of get that ability just to cruise around. It's not too hurried. It's not too rushed and just take it all in.
Yeah, that's what we did today. So there's no F1 on track today. Thursday typically is for drivers and team principal press conferences and then a bit of track stuff. But Melbourne Grand Prix as an event was packed today. I mean, there was cars on track basically every hour on the hour from about 9 a.m. this morning. So there was classics. There was the speed comparison thing with the Ford supervans. There was Porsche's cups. There was V8 supercars. There was the classics. I think I said that. So, yeah, there was heaps of on-track action. But, yeah, we set ourselves at the bar for a couple of hours and I was drinking the vodka Red Bulls like I was 25 again because I refused to drink Heineken.
Do you have any intention of sleeping tonight? I didn't realize you had this like nemesis against sleeping and actually having a nice time instead.
I got the sugar-free Red Bull though. So
because that makes a difference when you're drinking high-energy drinks and vodka. As long as it doesn't have any sugar in it, that's fine.
Who do we spy? We parked ourselves at the top of the Melbourne Walk, which is...
We definitely feel like we were on the wrong part of the side of the partition.
Oh, so funny.
That's what we definitely felt. We were like, okay, we feel like we've got a little bit of... credibility here because we're on the other side of that partition, even though there was something very wrong about that feeling.
Yeah, it was funny. The Melbourne Walk, for our international listeners, if you don't know what it is, that is a place where all the drivers and all the team mechanics and principals show up, get dropped off and walk through like a red carpet into the F1 paddock and so on. You know, there's heaps of media there too. So we were on the other side of that today because we could get to it and spied some pretty creepy cameramen. My uncle's pretty weird too, and that's what I was thinking. You guys can you're the internet. You guys win all the time. You'll figure out who that is. But, yeah, it was cool. We spotted Damon Hill.
Yeah, Damon Hill. We saw a couple of the F1 producers and stuff. Jess McFadden. Who else did we
James
see?
James bumped into Uncle Johnny Herbert, and he's a steward this weekend. So don't believe he's on the Sky Sport broadcast anymore.
No.
I think he's been dumped. They needed to meet some
not upset about that.
diversity quotas to get rid of Uncle Johnny. But that's good to see him back in Melbourne. So, yeah, look, very good day. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
I think, like, tomorrow we really start to see a bit of the action, right? We've got free practice. We'll get to see cars on track. And that's, I think, you know, the crowds do start to pour in tomorrow. And it's cool. Like, you get to see everyone so excited to see these cars in person because I think, as we've talked about a bit, it's not everybody who gets to go to the race and you really do just lap up that energy when you're there and people are so excited to see these cars, you know, that they've been watching on a screen for however long, you know, right in front of them. So cool tomorrow to be interacting with the crowd, cool to see the action on track from a Formula One perspective really. Get going and also get an idea as to how each of these cars from different teams. Of course, we know that we can't look into pre-practice times too much, but you do start getting a bit of an idea as to how confident teams might be going into the weekend when you get our first two free practice sessions up and running to get an idea as to who we're looking out for this weekend and who might be doing well. Because sometimes when, you know, think about Danny Ricks' win. Did anyone, in case anyone's forgotten, Daniel Ricciardo is the last person to win a race for McLaren.
Yeah. Italy 2018. No, 20. Sorry.
Mark that. Say that again. If anyone's forgotten, Daniel Ricciardo was, in fact, the last person to win a race for McLaren. But thinking about that weekend, he was on it from day one. The second he stepped into the paddock, he had a twinkle in his eye and you get this feeling that he knows something is up that weekend. And we saw the same thing at the start of last year with Fernando Alonso when he was on it in certain races. You just know sometimes. And so I'm excited to see what we can spot in people's grins or kind of sad looks.
Sad looks, yeah. Look, turn one and two really is the chicane just after the straight. It's a really good reflection. We were watching it today from a certain vantage point. You could see the V8 supercars and the Porsche cars just starting at the back end, wants to step out. It's quite a severe change in direction into turn two. And, you know, you could just see the cars that were stable and flat and their attitude through the corner. And, I'm looking forward to watching that too. I mean, turn three is my absolute favorite because of the braking zones, which are, you know, 300 Ks an hour. Breaking at 70 meters into a blind right and it's pretty awesome. But yeah, it'd be good to see what sort of attitude the cars are putting through. And I think Red Bull's going to be bloody strong, but it's going to be good. I feel like the energy is just going to build all the way up until fever pitch just before the race. And then we'll figure out where we're going to watch it from there. We've got 3 days to sort of figure out where we're going to do it from. But yeah, it'd be cool.
We're still facing that dilemma, listeners, whereby it's awesome to be at the track and we are obviously loving it. But as some of you may know, when you actually comes to the race itself, having those screens in front of you allows you to take in so much more of the action for the entirety of the circuit. And so both of us as, you know, people who love watching Formula One, we kind of want to go to the pub.
Bit cheaper to drink some vodka Red Bulls at the pub too than it is the track.
Not sure they'll serve you those outside of the circuit, camping. You might have to go up to Melbourne University or something like that too.
Sir, it's before 9 p.m. We don't serve those.
Sir, can I please see your ID because you definitely look older than 24, which is the acceptable age to be drinking vodka Red Bulls. So maybe we'll go and find you a university bar to find you your apparent drink of the weekend.
Of choice, yep.
Go. Look, that's it for our daily wrap-up podcast. They're going to be short and sweet. At the end of each day, we'll let you know what it's like down at the track and things that we've experienced and try and bring as much of that to you, listener, because we know obviously not everybody can be there. And if you've got anything you want to see or hear from us, please do let us know. Get in touch via Instagram or our Discord is the best place over the course of the weekend. If you have any questions or things you'd like to go and for us to check out on your behalf, just let us know. But otherwise, we will see you tomorrow.
Sports Social Podcast Network.